All right, we are in a communication class. I hope you have been practicing some of the things that you've heard me talk about. Communication can only improve with practice, and you have to go out there and don't be afraid or discouraged if you get it wrong and it doesn't go well. In this session, we're going to look at how the objective of inspiration, how do you inspire someone by what you say? Definition, to inspire means to breathe into. It's interesting that when God created a human being, he shaped that human being out of dust, and it wasn't alive. It wasn't alive until God breathed his breath into it. And that's what inspiration is. It's breathing life into something. Prerequisite. What do you need before you can actually inspire people? You can use words, you can tell stories, you can say things that are inspiring, but people will sense that it's fake unless you yourself become an inspiration. Before you can inspire people with your communication, you must be an inspiration. Number one, how do you do that? Be a bold leader. Joshua 1 verse 9. Moses has died. Joshua is about to take the people into the promised land. Joshua 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And Joshua boldly brought the people into the promised land. If you want to be an inspiration in terms of communication, you have to be an inspiration in your person. And one way to do that is to be a bold leader. I planted a church in Vancouver, British Columbia, many years ago, and there was a group of people, maybe five families, that had been working on this church plant. Their dream was to plant this church. They had been working on it for 2 years. And finally, the denomination that I was in sent me as their leader. So I come 2 years later. They've been working on this thing for 2 years, and then I come. And I'm in charge. How easy do you think it was for me to get those people to think that I was in charge? They had been working on it for 2 years. What did I do? I remember the first time my wife and I came there, they had a Bible study that they were doing every week, and they had a circle of people, and they had these books that they were using. And when we joined them, we were on the edge of the circle, and they didn't give us a book. I mean, I don't think they were thinking that, but they were subtly excluding us. Who were we? And I'm supposed to be the leader. So it was very difficult, and I was frustrated. How do I get to the head of this thing? How am I going to lead in this church plant, and how is it going to go? One Sunday, we met at Sunday night. One Sunday, my wife and I went door-to-door. We went door-to-door, knocking on people's doors, asking about whether they went to church and what they thought about church, what they would want to do with church, etc. We just took a pad of paper and we did that. And when we came to the Bible study that night, I told everyone, well, this is what we just did. We just spent 2 hours. Before we came to this meeting, we spent 2 hours knocking on all these doors. Here's what we learned. And by the way, this is your assignment this week. So next week when we come back together, I want you to all have a clipboard filled with the stuff that we have done. And from that moment on, I became the leader. I became the leader because I was an inspiration myself. I didn't just talk about things. I actually did something. I went out in front of them and did something, and now I'm asking them to do it. And the next week when they came back, I mean, they didn't dare do it, but they went out because they had to. They were filled with all these stories. They were excited about what they had done. But I'm the one that helped them do it. Number two, be a bold risk taker. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. Take a chance with certain things. I mean, that's what my wife and I did. We took a chance. We went out, we stepped out and boldly did something. I was living in Michigan and I took this call to Vancouver, British Columbia, went to a different country. And you know, if you're not willing to take a risk, then who's going to follow you? Before you can inspire people with your communication, you must be an inspiration. Be a bold God walker. Joshua 1 verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You can't be an inspiration unless you have the breath of God in you. How do you get the breath of God in you? Walk with God. How do you walk with God? Talking, listening repeatedly. Prayer, Bible. If you're not daily walking with God personally, with your spouse, with your family, how are you going to be an inspiration? Without God inside, you're just going to be a limited human being. Number four, be a bold disciple maker. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. A disciple maker is one who does what Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? He made disciples. And what did those disciples do? They went and made disciples. A disciple maker is someone who not only helps someone grow in their relationship to God, but helps them in such a way that that person then goes on to help someone else. You don't know if you have a disciple or perhaps a dependent until the person that you're trying to disciple actually makes a disciple. A lot of times we try to help people. We try to help people grow in their relationship to God. But they never then help someone else. If they don't help someone else, you have a dependent, not a disciple. Number five, be a bold person of character. Philippians 4, 12 through 13, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Paul was a person of character. He demonstrated that when times are tough, you keep going. When you're struggling and you don't know what to do, you trust that God will somehow pull you through. See, if you're going to inspire people by the words that you say, you have to be that kind of person. You have to be a person that keeps going when it's difficult. Whatever it is you're trying to do, maybe you're trying to help out in a church, maybe your dream is to be a church planner, maybe your dream is to be a Bible study leader. I don't know what your dream is, but whatever it is, you're going to hit a lot of bumps in the road. There'll be people that don't believe in you. There'll be people that think that you're just wasting your time studying here at Christian Leaders Institute because you just don't have what it takes. You're going to meet bumps in the road. If you want to be an inspiration, you have to go past those things. And all the difficulties that you're going through, God doesn't waste any of those things. He will use those things. Those will be some of the stories that you one day tell. This is what happened to me. No one believed in me. But look what I'm doing now. What does inspiration communication do? Number one, it helps people want to listen. If you're talking to someone and you're just giving information, you know, the book of Genesis is the first book in the Bible. It tells the story of how God created the world. I'm just giving you information. It's like, I don't know, what's all this information for? When you inspire someone, you're trying to move them towards something. People will listen more if you're trying to inspire them rather than just inform them. It helps people want to change their lives and believe that they can change their lives. A lot of people are not happy with their marriage, with their family situation. They're not happy with what they're doing or their vision for life. They're struggling. And then you come along and you say some things that give them hope. Maybe I'm not stuck. I thought I was stuck. I thought, I'm just coping in my marriage. I've given up on believing that it could be better. But then you come along and you inspire them. And they go, maybe it can happen for me. Number three, it helps people want to do something. If you're just giving information, you're just talking, and it's just information, it's like, okay, I'm learning this, but what do I do with it? Ultimately, people want to do something. Number four, it helps people believe that they are precious children of God who stand guiltless before Him by the sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus, with gifts and abilities specifically given to them by the power of the Holy Spirit for the edification of His church and the building of God's kingdom. Now, isn't that inspiring? Just listening to those words? Well, how do you do it? How to communicate inspiration? Number one, know your audience. Number two, tell inspirational stories. Number three, share inspirational quotes. Number four, quote inspirational Bible verses. Now let's look at each one of these four. Know your audience. Who is your audience? Who are you talking to? You know, when I'm at church, I'm speaking to all kinds of people. I'm speaking to older people. There's kids. There's people going to school. There's people working. There are married people, unmarried people. Who is your audience? Why are they uninspired? If you're going to inspire them with something, why are they uninspired? What's going on in their lives? What are they struggling with? Where in their lives are they uninspired? Work? They're doing things just to pay the bills, but they don't love their job. Are they uninspired in their relationship to God? Are they uninspired in terms of their vision for life? Are they uninspired in the church? They come, they sit, they go, but they're not inspired. They're not like gung-ho about. Where exactly, specifically, are they struggling? Where are they, you know, just bored with life? See, if you understand that, if you know your audience, I have a bunch of people that have mediocre marriages. How do I inspire these married people? How do I inspire these people who are just struggling along, that are discouraged, that are unemployed, or whatever their situation is? What is holding them back? A belief in themselves, education, no money, no opportunities. What is holding the people that you're talking to back? What are their fears, their uncertainties, their insecurities? Maybe they're afraid of failing, so they never try anything, they never learn anything. What's holding them back? Tell inspirational stories. Stories from your life. For myself, I mean, some of the things that turned my life around. I couldn't read very well. I started school and I just couldn't put the words together. I don't know if I was dyslexic or put things backwards. I just couldn't comprehend. I would read a paragraph and at the end of the paragraph, I had no idea what it said. So in third grade, I was put in a special reading class for all the kids that couldn't read very well. And I just struggled along. My father and my mother met with the teacher, a conference thing. And the teacher looked at my father and said, you know, your son probably will never get this. You should teach him a trade because he's never going to go on to college. Now, my father could have just said, oh, okay, and started teaching me a trade. But he didn't. My father said, nuts to you and what you think. And so he found these books that my brother, and he made my brother and I do these reading books and fill in the blanks. And when we finished a book, he gave us a dollar. And then we had to do the next book. And then we had to do the next book. And the next book and the next one. Now, I don't know if that made all the difference or not, but I eventually went on to college. And then I went on to graduate school. And now I'm teaching. I'm a professor here at Christian Leaders Institute. So that teacher had no clue what she's talking about. And that may be true in your life too. There are people that have told you, maybe your pastor, maybe someone at church said, you'll never be a church leader. And they list off all your limitations. And you may have those limitations. I don't know. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be stuck with those limitations. So I'm telling you my story. This is what happened to me. And so if you're struggling like I was, who knows what God may do through you? So I'm trying to, you know, for my own life, inspire you towards some possibility. Stories of people that you have heard of. I was a teenager. I hadn't made profession of faith yet in my church. In my church, you made a public profession of your faith generally in your teenage years or somewhere about there where you stood up in church. And it was kind of a formality. The pastor would ask a few questions. You would just say, I do. And you'd sit down and bing, bada, boom, you've made your profession of faith. You're now an official member of the church. But I was like, you know, I was struggling with, do we really believe this? Do we believe in God and all this just going through the motions stuff? I didn't want to just do that. But I didn't know what to do. And I was timid. I was shy. I hadn't done this whole public speaking thing. I didn't know what to do. One Sunday I was watching television. It was some, I don't know what show it was. But someone got up and gave a testimony. And it was a guy in a wheelchair. He had muscular dystrophy. He could hardly talk. He could hardly communicate with his words. And he said some things. And at the end of his little talk, he looked at the camera and he said, if someone like me, and he could barely say these words. You had to really listen to understand what he was saying. If someone like me can get up and testify to the glory of God in Christ, then what's holding you back? And when he said that, I was like, you know, I'm shy. I don't like getting in front of people. I don't like communicating. I don't like talking. Remember, I had trouble reading and getting the words out and pronouncing them right. But when I heard that, this guy who could hardly talk, he got up and he is giving it all that he has, regardless of his limitations. It was like, okay, I got to do this. So I did. I prepared this thing. I asked the pastor if I could actually say a few words. No one ever did that. So I got up and I had this whole prepared thing. And not only did I just say a few words, but I was like challenging the people. At the end of it, I had this, you know, when I think back about it, it was crazy. It's, you know, I don't know if I would do it again today. But I said something like this. If you love Jesus and you are excited about the faith, I'm going to count to three and I want all of you to stand up and shout it. I love Jesus. And this is a conservative church where no one ever shouts anything. This wasn't a Baptist church where people are saying amen and glory to God. This is a church where no one says anything. No one smiles. No one laughs. No one does anything. You know, one, two, three, and a few timid people stood up. But I was so inspired by that guy. So what people around you have inspired you? Those are the stories that you can tell. Stories of people from secular history. I think Max Licato tells this story about a priest in World War II, and he's in a concentration camp, and the commandant is going to kill someone because someone escaped, and so he, you know, randomly chooses, you know, this guy, you're the one that we're going to shoot. And a priest named Kobe raised his hand, stepped forward, and said, I would like to take his place. And the commandant, you know, scratching his head, and this priest said, I don't have a family. This man does. Take me instead. And so he was shot in that guy's place, which is a wonderful story of God's sacrifice of his own son. But it's also an inspiration for all of us. I mean, I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what you have to do to sacrifice. Maybe there's a fight that you had with some close friend, and you're waiting for them to apologize, and they're waiting for you to apologize, and you just don't want to do it. Well, you know what? This guy gave his life for someone else. Can you not sacrifice your pride and just do this thing? People's stories can inspire people to do things that they need to do. Stories of people from church history, all the martyrs, Martin Luther, willing to risk his life for what he believes. Here I stand and I can't do any other. I mean, just that phrase. Knowing that phrase has helped me in my life. There are times where I have to go, this is where I stand. I don't know what's going to happen, but this is where I stand. I know in the whole dating thing, when I was dating and, you know, people were promiscuous and having sex and, you know, I'm close to this girl, but I had in my mind that this is where I stand. I'm going to save myself for marriage. It was a weird concept for everyone that I knew, but it was like, here is where I stand and I can't do any other. Stories from the Bible, Abraham, Gideon, David, Paul, there's so many good stories in the Bible of people that overcame incredible odds. Abraham, I want you to go to a place you don't know. I'm going to give you a land you know nothing about, and I'm going to make you into a great nation even though you don't have any children. And then he can't have children for many, many, many years. It's like, how does a guy like that keep going? Then he finally has the child, and then God says, I want you to take your only son, and I want you to sacrifice him? Really? How could you do that? And yet, Abraham was willing to go into the darkness. He was willing to walk into an area he didn't know. And that's, for many of us, we have to do the same thing. Share inspirational quotes. I've not failed, I just found 10,000 ways that won't work. You think you've tried and failed a lot? Thomas Edison, 10,000 different ways of trying to figure out how to make a light bulb of the filament. Tried this thing, tried that thing, and he didn't quit. So why are you feeling like you want to quit? 20 years from now, you'll be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bow lines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. Mark Twain. What would you attempt to do if you knew you would not fail? And in some ways, as Christians, in the end, we're not going to fail. I mean, you may fail the particular thing that you do, but in the end, we win. We already know how this story goes. So why not be bold? Why not try? What is the worst that could happen? The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. Helen Keller was born blind and deaf. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, you know, the closed-in feeling, and yet she could say something like this? Here's another quote from Helen Keller. Once I knew only darkness and stillness, my life was without past or future, but the little word from the fingers of another fell into my hand that clutched at emptiness, and my heart leaped to the rapture of living. Her teacher kept spelling, you know, sign language is done with your fingers, and she kept making signs and putting them in her hand because Helen couldn't see, she couldn't hear. And she started making these letters and trying to get her to associate the letters with something. And it was a total frustrating exercise. But finally, in one moment, Helen Keller got the idea that this letter connected to that thing, water, I think it was. And all of a sudden, the world opened up. She became a person who went around and inspired millions and millions of people. So what's holding you back? What makes a good story? What makes a story inspiring? If you think at its very nature, what makes something inspiring? There's often an unlikely hero. The Lord of the Rings, you know, you have a hobbit, a small little guy with hairy feet. How is this person going to save the day? How is Jesus going to save the world? He's a carpenter's son. He doesn't have a home. He doesn't have money. What does he have? How's it? And how are 12 disciples, this fisherman and the tax collector and all these, how are these people going to change the world? Unlikely heroes. There's often a character that endures a lot of suffering or failure before achieving success. You know, this is almost every movie that you watch. There's always a problem, and there's always a person that is, you know, the main character, unlikely hero, goes through all kinds of problems. It looks like there's no way in the world that this is going to work out. There's often a lot of opposition that must be overcome. Okay, that's what makes an inspiring story. So think in your own life. Where have you been that person? You're an unlikely hero. You have endured a lot of suffering and failure. And there's probably a lot of opposition in your life. See, you are set up to be an inspiration. And all you need is for God to come in and show you the way. In your own life, in the lives of the people around you. So, inspiration is not something outside of your grasp. It's within your grasp. Think about your own life. Think of where you were struggling, and then somehow something happened in your life that turned. It can be a small little thing. And then that's the thing that you share.